done for. Yeah.
I don't want to hear another hour and a half of this crap on the phone.
We will take action on House Bill 1272, an act to authorize certain wine shipments.
Yeah.
Is this communion coming up?
Show and
Representative
tell.
Clark?
Oh, boy.
Just to show you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I almost said ladies and gentlemen of the committee, but then I realized that the ladies are the staff today, and there's no ladies on this committee, so we're...
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
We're already in trouble, Representative Clark.
Oh, big doo-doo.
Well, I was trying to make the point that we needed more women on there, but on the committee. Thank you for allowing me to come and talk today about a very important bill. This is a very important bill for the question of adding value to South Dakota agricultural industry. This is a question also of establishing reciprocity to establish a market for this value-added ag industry. The industry, of course, is the wine industry in South Dakota. The wine industry in South Dakota is small right now. It's mostly, and I guess I can say generally, completely family businesses, small family businesses, but it is growing. These wineries are known oftentimes as boutique wineries, producing boutique wines, meaning that they're very small and specialized. I'm not an expert on all the wineries. The winery in my own hometown, Vermilion, the Valiant Vineyards, is the one I know the most about, of course. And that's part of the reason, because it is in Vermilion, that I'm very interested in this issue. I'm also very interested in the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, which, of course, as you all know, is coming up. In Vermilion, we're very close to Spirit Mound, which is one of the very important places along the Lewis and Clark Trail, where we expect to have, no one actually knows, but easily 50 or 60,000 people coming through Vermilion that year to go to Lewis and Clark, to that part of the Lewis and Clark Trail. It might be even more than that. Tourism is talking about 50 million people somehow going up and down parts of the Lewis and Clark Trail. When those people come to Vermilion and visit the winery, they're going to taste the wines there, and I'm hoping that many of them will decide that this is something that they want to try again at home. However, if you're traveling, you don't want to carry along a case of wine. It's not a very good way to make sure the wine continues to be in good condition if it has to sit in a hot car. You'd like to be able to order the wine and have it delivered to your home so you can try it again there at home. It's very expensive for small vineyards to build the kind of volume that they need so that retailers will carry it in another state. Part of the way that you do this is by allowing people to try the wine at home and then at some future time going to their local retailer and asking that retailer to carry the wine for them to start ordering it. A little bit later, I think another one of the proponents will give you some information from the American Vintners Association about a lot of the information that we'll be talking about today. But one of the things in here is talks about the nature of selling wine in the United States. And the nature is that outside of a few large, well-known brands, most wholesalers don't carry anything except those large brands. It's very expensive, as I said, for the vineyard then to build up the kind of volume so that a retailer will decide, or a wholesaler will decide to carry it, and a retailer will decide to carry it. One way that you can do that, as I said, is to allow people to have a chance to try the wines at home and then become so comfortable and like them so much that they will go and ask someone to start ordering it for them. Certainly much easier to go to your local liquor store and pick up wine than to have to wait for it to come to your house, and also to assume that it will be in good shape when it comes to your house. What this bill does is establishes reciprocity with the 21 other states who do have it already. The bill allows vineyards to ship two cases a year for personal use to anyone over 21. The two cases a year is enough to allow people who wish to use it for something special, a wedding or something like that, to be able to order that amount at one time. The package must be clearly labeled that it contains alcohol, and that's why I wanted to show that to you, that it does contain alcohol, and it can't be delivered to a minor or anyone intoxicated. The shipper must record on the delivery record, that's what you have when they come to the door, the name, the address, and the date of birth of the person to whom it's delivered from a valid identification. The other thing, the last part of it, is that you may not advertise that this shipment service is available, nor may a shipper outside South Dakota advertise in this state that such shipments are available. As I said before, this is really a small market, but one that we hope to grow, if possible. It really does encourage people to try the wines to, at a future time when the market is sufficiently built up, to be able to order them through the wholesale retail system. And it's a very large boost for these small wineries and this value-added ag industry. I have a letter that I would ask if there's a page passed around to be put into the record. Well, let's see if I can find it. Here it is. Thank you. If I could read it real briefly, it's a very brief letter.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dear members of the Commerce Committee, first, we would like to thank you as members of the legislature for the support you have shown the South Dakota farm wineries over the past several years. As with any crop in South Dakota, marketing the final product is critical, as is true with wine production. Each of the wineries in South Dakota has to look past our local market to be successful long term. This is the reason HB 1272 is so important to this new industry. Many patrons of our winery who live outside of our area have indicated an interest in purchasing additional wine if it could be shipped to their home for various holidays. These customers have already provided evidence of their age. The ability to ship to these customers would enhance the marketing of our wines. We believe HB 1272 provides this marketing benefit. We would like to add our support to the HB 1272. Thank you. Jim and Nancy Shady, Shady's Vineyard, Volga, South Dakota. You will hear today from some more proponents, I'm assuming opponents too, of this bill. And I would be glad to try and answer any questions I can, although I think that there are some people who have more technical knowledge than I do. I would like to ask, also like to tell you that we are working with the executive branch to try to address some of the concerns that they've raised, and so that I hope that we, and I understand the chair has decided to defer, or has suggested that we might defer this until later, until the next meeting of your committee, because there are some opponents who might not be here today. I just would ask you, if that's the case, that we would appreciate that, because we are working on perhaps some adjustments to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Clark. We will hold our questions until both proponents and opponents have given testimony, and yes, in the interest of time. Any other proponents?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my name is Eldon Nygaard, and I'm a proponent. And if the page would pass those out, one to each member of the committee. Honorable committee, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll try to move rather quickly through this. I've done my homework, and I come here with research in addition to my words, and I think it's credible research on the issue. But I also want to start this by suggesting that we also are very concerned about what the governor has been working hard over the last couple of years to enforce underage drinking problems and address underage drinking problems, and through his revenue department has gone out and made, I think, a stellar effort to stop those kind of violations. Unfortunately, it's fallen primarily on the retailers in South Dakota, and there isn't much data to indicate that they've been able to enforce anything against shippers from out of state into this state. And one of the reasons is we don't have a proper law on the books to create penalties and procedures for enforcing that, and that's what hopefully we can amend this bill to address. Also, I want to make it clear from the wine industry's point of view in this state, as you just heard from Mr. Jim Shady, who I spoke to last night and forwarded his letter to Representative Clark. The bill addresses wine only.
We're not here to suggest that it's a safe and sane idea to ship beer or distilled spirits via the mail, via the, if sell it over the internet or any other such thing. We're here to talk about a unique situation, the wine industry, which and the small winery in South Dakota. And it's it's different than beer. Beer is subject to some abuses because it's a low per unit cost, so miners might be interested in ordering that over the internet. We're talking about ultra premium price wines that are in that $20 to $30 range and sometimes even higher, and then you have to pay about a $20 or more per box shipping fee to get it to you and to get the common carrier to comply with such things as this law would require, that is a pitcher ID, signing for it, a paper trail, and making sure that underage drinking does not occur. If I could, all of you have this in front of you, let me just, I'm not going to read this to you, but I just want to tell you what we have. I know. Let me just show you what we have, if you'll follow along. Exhibit 1 is a list of all those states provided by the American Vintners Association that have either reciprocal or permit shipping, and that gives you some background for your edification. The next page was a statement, and this I find, you should find interesting. 81% of the American population already can receive direct shipment of wine, either in intrastate from their own winery within their state, or interstate as a result of these reciprocal shipping laws existing in 30% of the nation's populations by state, or a combination thereof. So 81% of Americans can already receive a box like this, and in varying under varying laws within the states. So we're one of the 19%, our consumers are part of that 19% who don't have any rights of receiving these kinds of wines. And that's based on the U.S. Census and these bills. The U.S. Census is the current one, and that's printed on the next page. Also, the proponents may be concerned about the tax aspects, and that's addressed also by Dr. Bill Nelson on the next page, Vice President of Government Relations, AVA, and he happens to be the president of AVERN, the American Viticulture Enology and Research Network, which is an organization funded by the Congress of America, and promotes research, of which we received a significant block of money this year for especially crop research as a result of these kind of lobbyists. At any rate, I gave him the numbers from Carol Logan's figures yesterday on excise tax on alcohol on wines, both 14% below and above, and sparkling wines. And he comes back with an estimate based on their experience as experts in this area that there's about a $5,000 potential tax loss by passing a law like this. Well, then the offset of that is the fact that we generate more business, our small wineries will sell enough more wine over the internet and to people who are traveling home and want you to ship it for them because they can't take it with them, that the excise tax, 93 cents a gallon that we pay the revenue department, will offset that in addition to the increased payroll tax by increased profitability of our wineries, we'll need to have more employees. So it's de minimis, according to this one expert. Then Exhibit 3, I think, is probably the most credible data on this subject. It comes from the Department of Alcohol Beverage Control Chief Deputy Director of the State of California, which for over 50 years has received direct shipment of wine, both intrastate and interstate. And they were asked specific questions by two U.S. congressmen, Honorable Mike Thompson and George Randovich. And here were their reply as of March 3rd, 99. Question, have direct shipments of wine or other alcohol beverages to California consumers resulted in an enforcement problem for your department? Answer, no. California has permitted direct wine shipment to consumers since 1963, and it goes on to give the rationale for that answer. I'm not going to belabor it.
Thank you.
Question 2. Do remote sales of wine or alcohol beverages to California jeopardize the department's ability to enforce laws relating to sales to minors? And the answer again, no. Anyhow, interesting reading coming from a state that's been doing this for over 50 years, and there's data here. So if we're not creating something new, 81% of the American public gets direct shipments of wine, but they're getting it as a result of proper laws. And that's what we're here to correct. And that's what that's why, in consultation with the executive branch, we're going to defer until we can amend this and put some teeth into it. We have an amendment in mind that would do that. The next document, Exhibit 4, and I encourage you to read these at your leisure.
Could I interrupt you just a moment? If it's the intention of the sponsor to ask for this to be held over till next Tuesday, February 5th, maybe it would be best served if the committee had some time to review these documents you're talking about and have your other proponents so we can take action on Monday.
So I agree with that. I just would like to comment that I've had 2.5 hours sleep to be able to be here today. I may not come back next week because I have travels to do, and this research has done a great deal of expense and time. I just want to guide you through it so when you look at it, if you move to Exhibit 5, it's a one-page letter from the National Council of the Bicentennial Lewis and Clark Council, National organization, directed to Valiant Vineyards in Vermilion, South Dakota. We have just received word that we will be the sponsors, the exclusive sponsor of the commemorative wine for the next 4 to 5 years for this nation, and we're going to represent America in this celebration of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial. That's a multi-million dollar project for the wineries in South Dakota, or for our winery in South Dakota. We're going to do most of this through the three tiers of distribution, but there is going to be a need to be able to gather some data, some orders, and coordinate things over the internet. We need this law to facilitate that. It puts us on the map. The next, Exhibit 6, was just merely a UPI release wherein our wine, it mentions our wine having been selected by the wine steward to the President of the United States for service at an affair of state this past year. The next page, you see a nice picture of our commander-in-chief, January 2002, Farm Journal magazine, which is a magazine that is a national publication. If you open it up, you'll see a new vineyard near Freeman, South Dakota. And I invite you to read that article. I think it's important for agriculture in South Dakota. The next page shows a scruffy-looking gentleman with some wild grapes in a vat you may recognize. The next page is the Farm Home Research Journal from South Dakota State University, and there you'll find an in-depth article of the history of what we've been trying to do here and what this legislature, and many of you I recognize from the very first day in 1996, have started and we continue to do. You read through there and you'll see all the players are outlined in there, to include on the last page a nice picture of our former Revenue Department fellow, Jim Shady. At any rate, if you'll read through that, we're not here to suggest that it involves beer and distilled spirits. In fact, I would fight that on behalf of the wine industry. It's apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. Just one more comment to reiterate what Judy has said about, we have people fly in to hunt pheasants. They stay with us. They want a case of wine. They ask me if I can ship it home. I have to say no. We were on National Public Radio for 8 minutes in every one of the 50 states and Canada a few months ago, and the phone and the internet rang off the hook. They wanted to try the elderberry wine, the wild grape wine, those kinds of things I can't get on the shelf through the three tiers of distribution. I had to turn them down because we can't do that yet. If you'll read in here, the one affidavit in this case talks about the three tiers. The history of it is from industry professionals that address the long suits and the short suits of the three tiers of distribution. I think it's interesting reading for you. I invite the opportunity to be before you again with an improved bill that speaks more directly to enforcement, as was outlined in the governor's veto from last year.
Thank you, Mr. Nygaard. I appreciate it. If you can join us on next Tuesday, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you.
Are there anyone else in the audience that cannot be here next Tuesday, would like to present their testimony today? If not, we'll honor the request of the prime sponsor, and take this House Bill 1272 up next Tuesday, February 5th. It'll be the first bill on the agenda.